Daniel chapter number 9. Daniel 9 means, Daniel means God is my judge. I guess since that's my name, I should know what it means. He is my judge. That makes me fear and tremble. That gives me great delight too, because the judge is my savior. You got the lawyer and the judge both on your side. I believe the fix is in. Right. The Father judgeth no man, but committeth all judgment unto the Son. So we praise God for that. We've got an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Amen. Well, some of these truths the Lord may let me deal with the next days to come by God's grace. This took me years to understand them, and I still don't understand them like I should. I believe the most complicated thing in the Christian's arsenal of prayer is the authority of the believer. And that comes by divine revelation. You cannot understand that except by Scripture and God giving it to you. And we're so timid and we so fear Satan, and we ought to unless we're in Christ. And then we should fear no one but God. Hey, I respect Satan, but I fear God. I respect him because he's got more power than me. He ain't a cap gun beside of God. That's exactly right. It's time we preach the big God and a little devil. That is when you compare them. Satan's only got the power God let him have. Amen to that. You say you get Satan stirred up, he's already stirred up. He's already doing everything God will let him. And that's exactly right. And when we walk in pride, we really open the door up for him to work through us. So we want to always walk in humility and in faith in the Word of God. I'm going to be reading here some from Daniel chapter number 9. Thank y'all for praying. These shavings, as much as I love a tent, they're hard on my voice. Because I get all this drainage down on your throat. And Brother William always sets me up with this water with lemon juice in it. Hey, man, this ain't lemonade. There's no sugar in it. That would really defeat the purpose. That sugar gets on your throat, makes it worse. Hey, man. Two things a preacher don't need. Something sweet and ice cold water will shut your throat down. You need it room temperature. That's what I think. That's what it works for me. Well, let me just read a few verses here and get into this. The first year of Darius, son of Ahasuerus, the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. Of course, you know how Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar came and invaded Israel and took the children of Israel, Judah, captive in three dispersions. And the last and the major one was 586 B.C., Northern Israel being taken captive by the Assyrians, 722 B.C. Verse 2, in the first year of the reign, talking here about Darius, how Daniel understood by books the number of the years, whereby the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So, Daniel lives to be about 100 years old, at least. Upper 90s, 100 years old. And he lived through all these kings of Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar. Some say Belshazzar was his son. Some say he was his grandson. In the Bible, God never makes a distinction a lot of times. He'll call grandchildren the son because it's their offspring. But anyhow, so Daniel's living through these different reigns of these great kings of Babylonians and the Medo-Persians. He was taken into captivity as a teenager, and he purposed in his heart not to defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. He would not eat that wasn't kosher according to the law of Moses. You know, they had the contest, and Nebuchadnezzar's boys compared to Daniel and the Hebrew children, how much better they fared by obeying the dietary laws of God. And so he's an old man now. It's just probably maybe a couple years before the fulfillment of this. And it looks like there will be no need for prayer. Think about that. If the Lord's promised it, it's a done deal. If God said 70 years are determined on the nation of Israel, it's a done deal. It's going to happen. Why is he praying? Same reason Elijah prayed for rain. God told Elijah it's going to rain. He told Ahab it's going to rain. But he wouldn't send the rain till Elijah prayed through. He would not deliver the children of Israel until Daniel prayed through. Why? Because their sin had to be dealt with. That's right. And the prayer of Daniel was not necessarily that they'd be taken back into Jerusalem. It was that when they were, they wouldn't slide back into the same lethargy and apostasy they were before. He was praying that this 70-year captivity would purify a remnant that would return and carry on the work of God. Little did he know, out of 2.5 or 3 million people that's got comfortable over in Babylon and got to making money and loved that lifestyle, that there'd be less than 50,000 that would have a heart to go back to the land, be the remnant. And then God had to send all them prophets to keep them fired up. That's right, that's what Haggai, back all those prophets are doing. You sit in your sealed houses and the house of God is going waste. Now, why in the world would all those Jews refuse to return? Well, I'll tell you why. Because Jerusalem's in rubble. The walls are on the ground. The temple's been destroyed. That magnificent building, Solomon's temple, one of the seven wonders of the world, is in rubble. There's not any glory there, not by the natural eye. The glory has to be seen by faith. Now, there's a lot of hard work to get done. You know why you have a meal at the church in the fellowship hall and you about run out of food, have a prayer meeting, you can't get five people to pray. That ought to tell you the warfare's involved. That ought to tell you right there where the battlefield's at. That ought to tell you right there what the devil opposes, your flesh opposes, is what God honors. So, Daniel is going to set his face unto the Lord God. He knows the work that lies ahead. Now, some of you dear pastors don't get discouraged because some of you have taken churches where there's been left behind a pile of rubble. And you can't build the walls till you clean up the rubble. But you can take the rubble, clean it up, and rebuild the wall with it. Amen. There's like people that are saved, they can be repaired. If they're just given hope. If they'll just get back to walking with God and quit living on memories of 40 years ago. Brother Arthur Blackburn said he'd rather take a church that never seen the glory and try to take them to the glory than one that's seen one and they're sitting around satisfied over what God did 40 years before. Whatever you do, don't ever lose your passion and your hunger for God. Pursue Him every day. So the reason there's not a big, going to be a big crowd to go back and rebuild Jerusalem and the walls and the temple is because of the difficulty of the work. Here's what Daniel did, verse 3. I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Now you're going to find out in the book of Daniel 10 that he didn't do a total fast in the Bible is no water, no food. And then there's a fast where there's water and no food. And then there is this fast here where he ate no pleasant bread for 21 days. That means nothing pleasable to the palate, no seasoning, probably just, you know, like peas and that type of thing, just something to sustain his strength, but nothing to fill his stomach or satisfy him. That's what it means. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God. Now, dear people, when you go to God, don't go to God like he's a little g. You go to God like he's got all power and he's totally in control. And you always remember who God is and you always remember who you are. And let you be humble before him. He said, I make my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping covenant and mercy to them that love him. He might be great and dreadful and horrible, but he's not to those he's in covenant relationship with, and merciful to them that love him, to them that keep his commandments. Now watch this. We have sinned and committed iniquity, have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. You would think that in the average church, that the people that have to go to the altar all the time must be the biggest sinners. No, they're the biggest saints. Because they're so sensitive that the least little old thing that the Holy Spirit touches them about, they can't live without God. They can't live without the presence of God. They can't live without fellowship with God. And they go to church to worship God and to get help, but say, God, if I need to be straightened out, I want you to help that preacher to straighten me out so I can walk closer to you. It would be a dangerous thing, men. Ladies, it'd be a dangerous thing for you to have such a transparent relationship with your husband that after you've been married a while, you could say, honey, is there anything I'm doing that displeases you? Then she could say, he could say to her, am I doing anything that offends you and that violates the word of God? That'd be dangerous. Boy, it'd be a good question to ask the Lord, Lord, is there anything in my life up to date where I'm not pleasing you? Now, there may not be today, and God may get you mature enough for a month from now, he can tell you something he is displeased with. That's the way he works. Sanctification is a lifelong process. Lifelong process. It never ends. Anyhow, I better get on this, and I want to talk about praying through. So when the Lord gets ready to do something, he reveals it to one of his people. God would not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah until he talked to his friend by the name of Abraham. He wanted Abraham to know what God's up to. He gave you a Bible. He gave us prophecy so we'd know what God's up to. Not just to encourage us, but the child of God, hallelujah, has inside information. That helps you serve God when you know the end from the beginning. Amen. Oh, we discover that God declares his will. God's got a will, but he wants man to find out what it is, and he wants man to agree with him so he can do it. That doesn't make a lick of sense. But God wants man involved in heavenly things. God wants a man, a woman, to bring heaven to this earth. Oh, yeah. Isn't that good of the Lord? Boy, this thing of praying through, man's got to cooperate with God. You say, what if God don't find a man? But he will. But he will. Amen. When God lays a burden on the spirit of his people, they respond by going. Now listen to me. If you've never experienced this, hey, men, you've never experienced what it's like to be with child, but your wife has. You watch the effects of it on her. And if you never know what it is for the Holy Spirit to impregnate you with the burden of the Lord, you need to find out what that is. You need to ask God for it, because that's what sends a power. Yes, sir. When God lays his burden on the heart of a person and the Holy Spirit empowers them to stay with it, and God said it's enough, you don't need to pray no more. That's what brings the raw power of God. So we pray until God puts that burden on us. Folks, I'm telling you something. It's hard on your flesh. It's hard on your soul. But the most precious thing God could ever give people in this meeting, the people of God, is the burden of the Lord. That's God's heart. We pray until faith is strengthened. Power is released. Faith is released and the victory is assured. Now the church, I mentioned this yesterday, the church cannot have revival. I'm talking about what we're praying for. Now I thank God for everything God's doing. And in our day, we do call this revival because God's touched God's people. He's revived them. And the evidence of that is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit where God saved a lot of people. Man, this is a big thing going on right here. But oh, listen to me. I know what y'all are praying for. I know what Brother C.T.'s praying for and Brother Randy. We want to see it even on a higher level. To see that, you've got to have people that know how to pray through. Because when God comes in power and glory, people get emotional. And everybody gets emotional is not spiritual. There's a lot of soulish people among the congregation. And there got to be enough of God's people that know how to bind the devil or he'll take it over and get it into false doctrine, false experiences. Amen. So the individual believer must learn how to pray through if they're to see significant victories. You know what one of the weaknesses of the Welsh revival was? The converts, many of them, were not disciplined and taught doctrinal truth. And then the charismatic movement started in California and swept over that and destroyed a lot of that good fruit. Did you know that? Hey, I'll tell you something. I'd rather have no fire than wildfire. Wildfire will burn your church down. You better get a hold of that. I don't want a racket just for racket's sake. I don't want noise just for noise's sake. I tell you one thing. One of the most dangerous things about us is our emotions. What we're capable of doing if we get under the control of a demonic power. Most believers never live close enough to God to pray through. Praying affects the believer. Praying through affects a sinner. It affects the child of God. Of course, it affects God, but it affects Satan. Satan must be dealt with at your church. He's got to be dealt with. If your church is locked up, he's got it locked down. You better hear me now. I'd rather see a church locked down by the devil than a church locked down because the Holy Ghost is grieved. That's another thing. Prayer changes the one who prays. Satan was defeated at Calvary. We sing about victory in Jesus. That's not just good enough for your sins to be removed. It's good enough to give you victory in everyday life. Now, what's it mean to bind Satan? It means to render him powerless, just like Christ said he was. It's to enforce by faith the victory that Christ secured when he died, was buried, rose again, and ascended to the right hand of the Father. But to pray through, we have to march through a lot of battles. We war against lethargy, distraction, unbelief, doubt, Satan's attacks, Satan's animosities, Satan's accusations. We need to analyze every thought that comes to our mind because the devil is the accuser of the brethren. Now, preachers, I want to help y'all with something. I wish I'd known this a long time ago. When you got people in your church that's opposing what God wants to do, you listen, don't get mad at them. Pray against the power that's got them deceived. And you've got authority that God would rip that stronghold out of them where Satan's found a seat in the house of God to hinder and block and stop. And you've got authority against the strongholds in that church. And you pray, God, break them down or move them out. Amen. When they say, you'd rather have God or that big tithe check. Sometimes you got to make a choice. Amen. You ain't Satan's doormat, and I ain't either. Hey, he's got no right to lay his hands on the heritage of the Lord. So we pray through. And not just, now here's a real important thing. When you pray through, your main objective is not to get the answer. You know what your main objective is? To know God's heard you. That's the main thing. If you know God's heard you, you ain't got to worry about the rest of it. The main thing is praying till you know God said, that's enough. I've heard you. Now, that's not something that's not biblical. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. That's Jesus. That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, there it is. If we know that He hear us, we know we have the petitions we desired of Him. Oh, what an experience to know that when you get through prayer, you know God's heard you. Man, I'm telling you, that's a rush. That's better than drugs to know God Almighty has heard something like me. You say, why would God hear you? Because I'm praying His own prayer. You can pray in boldness when you say, now, Father, here's what the Holy Ghost told me to ask you. And you'll hear your own prayer. Amen. But for some reason, you want me to pray till I really believe you're going to do it. So I'm going to pray till I know you've heard me and I know you're going to do it. That's what praying through is. Now, real prayer is asking God to do what He already wants to do. Then why does God want us to ask Him to do it? Because God wants us involved. Amen. That's the grace of God. God can speak all this stuff into existence and never use human instrumentality. I'll tell you why the devil's so mad at us. Because God stepped over him to redeem man. And God works in cooperation with human instrumentality. Isaiah likens praying through his intercession that is similar to the travail of a woman giving birth. Now I want y'all to pray, Brother Josh's wife, Tiana, she's having trouble and she's only 20 weeks and we want to beg God to give her what she needs. And I pray He does it right now in the name of Jesus. Y'all agree with that? His will be done. Praying through is hard work. And it requires a commitment that most people aren't willing to do. Praying through, it's often bold. It's often forceful. It's often loud. It's often emotional. It's physically taxing. And it is heart-wrenching when you pray through. Now you say, there's no example of that in the Bible. Now you shouldn't say stuff like that. You don't think I'd get up here and preach something normally knowing it's not in the Bible. It's all through the Bible. If Jesus did it, that's all you need to know. Christ prayed through in the Garden of Gethsemane. And His will, human will, was totally in line with the will of the Father. Hebrews 5:7, who in the days of His flesh, when He offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto Him that's able to save Him from death, and was heard, and that He feared. That fear is reverent submission to the will of the Father. Now listen, folks, we're not talking about Christ as God right here. We're talking about Christ as a man. Listen, a lot of scriptures are not going to make sense unless you know the difference. A lot of times we see in scripture the side of this thing, God's sovereignty, the other side, man's responsibility. Hence, in the gospels, we see Christ's deity and Christ's humanity. And that right there is His humanity. Now, Christ could not sin. He was impeccable. But His human will had to be brought in alignment totally with the will of the Father. If that's not so, why is He asking the Father to let this cup pass from me? Do you think He's just doing that, trying to deceive us, that He's in agony when He's really not? He is wrestling. Strong crying and tears is what it says. With supplications. Now, in Hosea 12:4, it talks about Jacob prayed through. Yea, he had power with the angel. Of course, we know that's Christ. And prevailed. He wept to make supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and he spake with us. He wrestled. He struggled. He strove. You know what God done? He broke the power of Jacob's flesh. His resistance. What's the most powerful muscle in your body? It's your thigh. And he wrestled with the Lord. He is getting about to be the breaking of the new day. And Jesus just glanced, brushed his thigh. And when he did, his whole hip was placed out of joint. Oh, Jacob saw it that moment. It's the angel of the covenant. Nobody but God could brush a man's thigh and dislocate his hip. God wrestled him till all that flesh was weakened in him, where he'd have to depend upon God. And at the end of that wrestling match, old Jacob said, God, you broke my strength. I got to go out against Esau. And he broke my strength. He said, but God, look what you've done to me. He clinged unto him. And he said, I'll not let you go unless you bless me. The Lord said, Jacob, at 97 years old, it's about time you got there. He's 77 before he went and got a wife. 97 when he wrestled with the Lord. Jesus prayed through. Jacob prayed through. Hannah prayed through. 1 Samuel 1:10, she's in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Elijah prayed through. Elias was a man that's subject to like passions as we are. But the Bible says he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. It rained not on the earth the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again. The heaven gave rain and the earth brought forth her fruit. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That means it can do a whole lot. Amen. 1 Kings 18:42-46. Oh, Elijah bows himself to the ground. His face to the ground, he's on his knee. Well, he's lowered down toward the ground, but he puts his face between his knees. He's in that oriental birthing position. Hezekiah prayed through. Oh, Sennacherib sends, what's his name, Rabshakeh, down to give him the letter, warning them, if you don't surrender, we're going to destroy you. What did Hezekiah do? He went to the house of God, spread the letter out before the Lord, and he cast the burden upon God. Listen to Psalm 55:22, and I'm going to get into this real quick, be as fast as I can. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. That means he'll not suffer you to be upended. He'll not suffer you to be dislodged. Pray him through. It's when you know God's heard and God's answered. Now, Daniel 9 illustrates this to the T. And it illustrates it in the spiritual warfare side of it also. Now notice, what does it mean to pray through? Number one, you can't pray through. A woman can't have a baby unless she has conceived. You can't pray through till God gives you a burden. But you got to be in the place where he will. God gives us a burden. The first thing in praying through is that we receive the burden of the Lord. How did he receive it? By reading and believing the word of God. You know what ought to burden us? It's what's about to happen to this world. What's about to happen to our loved ones. It ought to, because the church is the only institution, because it's an organism in the world, they can do anything about it. To pray through, we must have the burden of the Lord. We must be given the power to carry that burden. This is spiritual work. So God gave Daniel a burden, and he prayed until the burden was released. You know how long a woman carries a baby? Till the burden's released. Till the baby's born. Amen. So God gave Daniel a burden. Number two, he accepted it. Number three, it was based on God's word. The burden God gave him was for the glory of God to be on Israel again. for the people to be established in the land again. The Messiah coming. It's going to be dependent on what this remnant does. But a burden that Daniel had also was for the people of God. I looked this up. Why does God use this term, a burden? Because a burden is something that has to be carried. You know what they call donkeys? You know what they call? That's right. They're burden bearers. They carry a burden. They carry a heavy load. And the burden of the Lord is a heavy load on your spirit. A heavy burden carried with great difficulty and obligation. It's unpleasant to the flesh. It's unpleasant to the soul. So Daniel prayed until the burden was lifted. Sometimes God lifts that burden because we can't carry it so much at a time. And later on He'll put it back on us. To carry the burden, Daniel had to get as close to God as he could. Daniel 9:3, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer, supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. He's weeping, he's mourning, he's in great sorrow. The person that prays through must get as close to God as they can. They've got to accept the burden of the Lord. They've got to know the Word of God dispensationally. They've got to know the promises of God. And then fourthly, he identified with a sinful nature, nation. You'd think he's as sinful as they are the way he's praying. When you agree with God, God wants somebody to agree with him about how wicked we are. He's tired of us trying to shove it under the rug, act like it's not as bad as it. I tell you, we've reproached God, we've embarrassed Christ, and we ought to be ashamed of it. I'm talking about the church. Daniel 9:5, we've committed sin. We. If you're self-righteous, you don't need to pray for nobody else. You need to pray for yourself. You don't go to God strutting how good you are. Amen. We've sinned, have committed iniquity. We've done wickedly. We've rebelled from the parting, from thy precepts, and the parting from thy judgment. What Daniel, listen now, what Daniel did is what David did in Psalm 51. He justified God. The sinner to get saved must justify God before he justifies them. You know what it means to justify God? To admit he's right and you're wrong. That's when you justify God. God, you're right in this judgment. And we deserve a whole lot more than we're getting. God, I don't blame you. I'm not bitter at you. I'm just heartbroken because you've had to judge us and chastise us because of our disobedience. Daniel 9:4. I prayed unto the Lord my God, made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keep in covenant and mercy to them that love him and that keep his commandments. Verse 6, he confesses, we've ignored your servants. We've ignored the prophets that spoke in your name. Our kings have ignored them. Our princes have ignored them. Our elders, our fathers have ignored your word. All the people of the land have not hearkened unto the word of the Lord. And God, now we have confusion of face. Everywhere we go, our face is covered with shame because of our sin. And then we see the one who prays through must confess the sins of the people, identify with them, and then appeal to God's mercy. Now, I can't get forgiveness for somebody else, but when I agree with God, it brings mercy on them. It extends that open window and that season of grace that they might get right with God. So he appeals to God's mercy. Daniel 9:9. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we've rebelled against him. He said, we're under the curse of Deuteronomy 28. Verse 13, yet we made not our prayer unto the Lord our God that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. He said, Lord, the more you chastised us, the more we sin. The more bad things happen, the more we sin. The more young people we lost, the more indifferent we become. And we've not been moved by the word of God. The Lord our God's righteous in all of his works, which he doeth, though we obeyed not his voice. He further confesses the great sin of God's people. And here's one of the worst of all. He said, the Lord our God that brought us forth from the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and has gotten thee renowned at this day. His great God. His great God of deliverance. This God that chose us from all the nations of the world. God said, I gave Ethiopia for you. I gave Syria for you. I walked over them. I judged them so I could bless you. And he said, all that grace and mercy, when you delivered us with a mighty hand, we should have served you and obeyed you and been the most grateful people in the world to serve a God like you. And we turned our back and served the little G's of this world. Now watch this right quick. I got to hurry. The standard of God's miracles, the gold standard of the miracles in the Old Testament is the dividing of the Red Sea. What the resurrection is in the New Testament, the dividing of the Red Sea was to the children of Israel. And he's bringing up the fact how God has fought for them, loved them. And he says, God, in spite of all that, we chase the world and disgrace you. Thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. That's like a backslider. The world can't stand them and they can't be comfortable in church. I'll tell you, a backslider is filled with his own ways and it's a heavy load to carry. Then he pleads for mercy for God's sake. Don't ask God to kill them. Do you ask God to have mercy? He said, oh, God, kill them. Well, if they get right with God, they might be the best member you got. Amen. Hey, you first deal in mercy, and you let God take care of all that stuff. You say, I'm going to pray them judgment prayers. Well, if God lets you, they're in there. David prayed them. One thing, I'm not King David, but if God lays on your heart to pray it, pray it. Now, I tell you what, God wants your heart to be full of mercy for people. Grace and forgiveness first. That's always the last result. God, if they won't get right, move them out. I don't mean God, I want you to kill them. They just can't stop. We cannot let the church be clogged up, dammed up, jammed up no longer. God, if you're not going to get them right, get them out of here. Yes, sir. Amen. Now, therefore, because we'd rather have God than anything they got. Now, therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant, his supplications. Cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. Oh God, put the glory back on our face. God, let us know your favor. It's upon us. What's the greatest favor of God? His presence. You can't get nothing done without it. And he said, Lord, don't delay. Don't defer. Do it now. Israel, like the church, needs her God desperately. So the manifestation of God's power, favor, and glory. Brother Randy, what else separates us from the clubs and societies of this world? But one thing is the presence of God. We've got nothing to offer but Christ. That's right. And that's what this world needs. Daniel comes. His cause is God's glory. His cause wasn't that he'd be exalted. His cause wasn't that the church would grow. Israel would grow. His greatest cause was God's glory. Amen. Well, that can't happen without redemption, revival, restoration, resurrection life. That's why David cried out of Psalm 85, 6, wilt thou not revive us again? That thy people may rejoice in thee. Not because you got more money. Not because you got a bigger crowd. In thee is the cause. All the rest of that follows that. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant in his supplication. Verse 17. Incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations. We do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Lord, we're not going to picket the government. We're not going to turn the church into politics. We're going to come to you. And I believe it's a sin not to vote. You're going to vote for a liberal, don't. That's a joke, but it really ain't. But our number one responsibility is not the White House, it's God's house. Ain't nobody in this world can do God's work but God's people. Amen. Daniel's prayer was great because he thrust all of his trust and dependence on God. You know what he said? Lord, we don't deserve it. It's a Syrophoenician woman. It's come over there and said, Lord, I don't want your loaf. I just want your crumb. I don't even deserve that. If you give me a crumb, I'd go back home shouting the victory. Hey, listen, this meeting here, we don't deserve this. Boy, it's a big thing to us. Hey, hallelujah. What God's done, we don't even deserve any of this. God's done it for his name's sake. Hallelujah to his name. Lord, we don't deserve it, but you deserve it. You can't get glory if we're half-hearted and not full of the Spirit. Lord, your name's at stake. It's how you pray to God. Lord, your name's on the line. We represent you. And we brought reproach on your name. And if you don't do something for us, it ain't going to get cleaned up. And your name looks like nothing in this world. And we need you, God. Your name's at stake. Your word's at stake. We're your people. We're holding your promise up. God, I got your promise. I'm going to hold it up. I'm going to hold you to your word till you do it. The Lord promised it. Amen. That's that trucker's way of saying amen. Daniel's mighty wrestles and agony in prayer was to beg God for mercy. He prayed till the burden was released and the answer came. Now, I'm going to finish this as quick as I can. You go to Daniel, end of Daniel 9, you get in Daniel 10. Now, I'm not even going to read all this. God sent the answer. He had to send one of them big angels because them little ones couldn't get through. Daniel 9:20, while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sins and the sin of my people Israel, present my supplication before the Lord my God, the holy mountain of my God. The answer came while he was praying, the evidence God had heard. Gabriel flew to him swiftly. Verse 21, he touched him at the time of the even oblation. It's 3 o'clock. You know how the early church fasted from sunrise? Sometimes it was 6 o'clock the day before. But some of them at sunrise till 3 o'clock in the afternoon because Christ hung on the cross from 9 to 3 o'clock. That's right. They cut it off at 3 when the Lord gave up the ghost. Amen. Everything they've done is connected with Christ. You dear young preachers in here, you preach a cross. Every time God lets you, you magnify him lifted up on that middle cross like we've been hearing. Oh, Brother Mays Jackson, when he preached a meeting, he'd always preach one night on the cross or the crown of thorns or the love of Jesus dying for lost humanity. What it cost him to keep us out of hell. Amen. Verse 22, he informed me and talked with me and said, oh, Daniel, I'm come forth to give thee skill and understand it, to know how to rightly skill, divide the word of God and to give you understanding what you're reading. Verse 23, he says, you're greatly beloved. Verse 24 and 25, he said, I'm here to reveal to you the future of the nation of Israel. Daniel, this is the greatest prophecy in the entire Bible right here. Daniel's 70 weeks. As far as the nation of Israel is concerned, this is it. He told him 484 years from the time the issue was decreed to build the walls until the time Christ is cut off. Told him to the day, the year, how long it'd be. And that finished up 69 weeks. And this 70 weeks determined on the nation of Israel. And you know when that 70 weeks comes, because the Antichrist, Israel will become a nation again, and the Antichrist is going to make a treaty with them and break that treaty. Well, let me get off of that. Now Gabriel explains in chapter 10, why it took 21 days. Here's why you got to pray through. It took 21 days to receive the answer. Daniel 10:12. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. For from the first day thou didst set thine heart to understand, chasten thyself before the Lord thy God, thy words were heard, and I've come without words. That means I've come with the answer. He said immediately, when you prayed, immediately, God Almighty dispatched an angel to bring the answer. Verse 14. But the prince of the kingdom withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, he's the one that wars on behalf of the nation of Israel. Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Satan's prince was over the king of Persia, and he blocked that angel. That angel did not have the power to break through. By the way, three times Jesus said, Satan is the prince of this world. John 12, 31, 14, 30, 16, 11. And that angel faced the devil himself, that prince, over the worldwide kingdom of the Media Persian Empire. I tell you, Gabriel or Michael backed him down in the book of Job over the body of Moses. And when Michael showed up, he backed away and the message came through. Now that reveals two things, folks, you need to understand. Number one, Satan's army is organized like a hierarchy. You'll find that in Ephesians 1:21, principalities and powers. You'll find in Ephesians 6:12, Colossians 1:16, and Colossians 2:12. Again, three occasions. John 12:31, John 14:30, John 16:11. Christ said, Satan's a prince of this world. Prince of the power of the air. Now watch this. Demons have different levels of power. What did Jesus say in Mark 9 about that particular demon? This kind, a demon with this kind of power. Sometimes you deal with the foot soldier, and sometimes you deal with the secret, what they call it, my mind just slipped me. The Green Beret and the Rangers and the Navy SEAL Special Forces. That's what David's mighty men were. Special forces. That's what people that can pray through are. Special forces. Go behind enemy lines and get the enemy. Rob him of his spoils. Demons have different levels of power. Angels have different levels of power. That's what this is about. Christians have different levels of power and authority with God. We must pray through to bind Satan. What does it mean to bind Satan? It means to render him powerless. Now that lying rascal ain't going to admit it. He can lose 100-0, act like he's won. I love it when God publicly humiliates him. You know when God does that? When sinners get saved and they stick their tongue. Ha, ha, ha! When the Lord opens up the house of his prison. Slams him against a wall. Praying through again affects God. It affects the one that prays. It affects the devil. And it changes us. I'm about done. Brother, you come on, it's going to play. It strengthens our spirit because we're in God's presence. It secures a great faith and a great power and a great victory. And we can resist Satan steadfast in the faith. When Satan comes, you accusing other people. You tell him, Satan, I resist you in the name of Jesus. You got no right polluting my mind with your lies. Call him what he is. He's a liar. Satan, you're a liar. You said he might hurt me. He ain't hurting you in Christ. So what's wrong now? He's bluffed us so much we're scared to death and running from him. I wouldn't stand against him in my flesh. I hope I ain't that big of a fool. But I'm not in my flesh if I'm in Christ. If I'm walking in the full, I'm not bragging, folks. If I'm walking in the fullness of the Holy Ghost, Christ is facing him. That's why Ephesians 6 states the armor. And here it is. I may preach this tomorrow, Lord willing. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I read this. Might is inherent power. A strong man, you look at a strong man's arms and see those muscles bulging. That's a display of his might. It is the reserve of his strength. Power is the exercise of might. Torque in a motor is how much you can pull. Horsepower is how fast you can pull it. That's what this is. I love them motor analogies. Power is the exercise of might. When he lifts heavy weight, he uses his power, that reserve of strength that he always had. What good's the strength of that man if it's never put in action? What good's the Holy Ghost in you if we don't get close enough for him to flow through us and fight the enemy through us? Might and power must be put in action against the enemy. Faith, the Word of God, the authority of Christ, exercised by the believer. Calvary purchased us certain rights, power and authority to render the enemy powerless. Satan was defeated at the cross. You know why? We rely on the strength of God. Daniel 10:10-15. Here it is right quick. Let me just run through this and I'm done. The angel touched him. And when the angel touched him, he lifted him. He lifted him and set him trembling on his hands and feet. Number two, he was discouraged. But when you're in the heat of that battle and the Holy Ghost comes by, tell you, we got the end of that thing last night. Heard Brother William over there laughing with the joy of the Holy Ghost. That's what happened when he comes by to encourage you. He said, Daniel, you're greatly beloved. You want me to tell you what that word greatly beloved means? That means you're highly esteemed. You're very precious to God. You're treasured by God. You're of a great value. A person who can pray through is of great value to God. You can be in a rest home. You can be on the bed. You can be sick. And you can pray. You might not can preach, but you can pray. Amen. When we pray through, we're changed into Christ's likeness. We're given a greater revelation. Though we've been greatly opposed, God gives us a victory. Man, there's so many sermons here jump out at me. I was hoping God would let me preach on territorial demons. But let's get off that. Yet God, Daniel here, here it is. He defied hell. He stood his ground. He saw the God of heaven revealed. God was exalted. God was vindicated as the only true God. You know what God does? Here's what God does. He says, here's your weapons. You say, well, what if them angels can't get through the answer? We're not angels. We're not trusting in angels. Angels have different levels of power. We got all power in us. We got the blood to plead. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. We ain't in the Old Testament. We got the name of Christ to use. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. You shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. We don't just have the name of Jesus and the blood of Christ. We've got the indwelling Spirit of God. We've got the Word of God to stand on. We've got all the weapons. Ours are weapons of mass destruction. Amen. Why did God allow this conflict to develop Daniel into persistent prayer to teach us the value of praying through? Brother Randy, look at all the parables of Jesus about prayer. Every one of them is about praying through, staying with it till the answer comes. You know what God does in prophecy? Here's what God does. He says, devil, here's what he does. Devil, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you know. Here, I'm going to let you know what I'm going to do. And you try to stop me. That's what he does. He let the devil see 70 years was going to be determined on Israel. And God said, now you devil, you do everything in your power to stop me. And I'm going to show this world I got all power. The devil knew Christ come to this earth. He said, now you try to stop him. When God's people pray, God can put us on display like Job. You ain't going to stop them. Because they're walking with me. We declare on the enemy the judgment written. Christ made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Oh, he dislodged, triumphed over principalities and powers and might and dominion. And he done it for us. You got a lost loved one? Keep on praying. Like I said last night, so many preachers use this, I don't know who to give credit to. You pray through to the answers in your heart or in your hand. Do you see it by faith or you see it in reality? And you got two nights left this week. Brother Randy, this whole week has been set up to show us if we'll pray through, we'll pray to victory. That's what we got to do. Now, you older people, you probably can't get any shavings on your knees. But you do what you need to do. And let's pray and ask God to put the burden for our church, our pastor, our people in our heart. Give us the grace to carry it till that baby's delivered, till that child's delivered. I want God to send Brother C. I want God to launch him like a rocket. And you do too. And I want God to do that for these young preachers and for you pastors and you children of God. Launch you into power.